All right, I have a confession to make. Sometimes I say something stupid on the air, which is usually once a day, sometimes five times a day.
Yeah.
And you were mad at me because I was playing Pokemon Go, and you're like right away, when's the last time you read a book?
Yeah.
And I panicked, and I got defensive, and I said, I don't like to read.
Yes.
I do like to read, but
sure.
I'm very picky about what I read.
You should be.
Jen Lancaster is an author. I love the way you write.
Thank
it is
you.
So easy to read your books, and they're funny as hell.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I think I would like to talk more about the Pokemon Go. I almost hit two people coming into the parking garage. I didn't have a problem with the game until it directly impacted me.
Yes.
So
that's
yes.
how life is, right?
Right?
Things are no problem unless they bother you.
Did you see there was a story last night about two kids that fell off a cliff and they believe it's because they were playing the game while on a cliff? Which is bad.
That's upsetting.
Do I know not that play on a cliff.
They warn you,
yes.
but that's a really specific warning.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
seems,
do
it
not
like...
play near a cliff.
Yes. Yes. It's very dangerous. The new book is called By the Numbers. And since we're talking about numbers, this is number 13 for you. That's not bad.
That is. I'm prolific. That's the only thing that I yeah. can say. I would rather write than almost anything in the world, and I actually have number 14, 15, and 16 booked already also.
That's
how do you
impressive.
Churn these out so quickly?
I bought a really big house, and they expect to be paid every month, so that's part of it.
Does it get easier with each one? Like we said, this is number 13, so does it just become easier and easier, or at some point do you go, wow, I've... hate to say this, but it's getting harder because I'm running out of stuff to talk about. How does it fit?
I am never going to run out of ideas. People always say to me, oh, I have some ideas for you. No, I have plenty of my own. It's
yeah.
having the time to get them all down. So each book that I have done has been very, very different.
Yeah.
So it's always something new. I just, I don't think I can announce the publisher yet, but I just sold my first young adult book, which is so different than anything I've ever written. It is a fictionalization of the suicide clusters in Lake Forest in
yeah.
2012. So it's dark. So it was exercising a completely different muscle. And
yeah.
that was really fun, if I can say that, fun to work on in between the memoir that I'm working on, which is very light.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the Judy Blume of the 2000s.
I would love that. That there are worse careers to have.
But that's what I really loved about her books. Of course, she talked about getting your period for the first time.
Right.
So that was all exciting for girls to read. But she read. She wrote in a way that was very easy to follow, and that's how you know you're a good writer. So congrats on that.
Thank you. I don't think that there's anybody in my business around my age that wasn't influenced by Judy Blume.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a whole...
That's the last book I read, by the way.
Was Judy Blume?
Was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh.
So it's been a while.
That's a good one to leave off on. That's a great one to leave
Sorry
off on.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jen.
The mere thought that this is now young adult as opposed to regular novel,
mm-hmm.
what does that change for you while you're writing it?
You know what's interesting is I've spent my entire career avoiding writing a sex scene because I'm so modest.
Yeah.
So In the novels, it's always relationships between people who, say, don't have sex, like a mother and a daughter, you know, hopefully.
Then you don't have to write that.
Right, right. So I can just neatly avoid that. In this young adult book, there's sex,
yeah.
there's drugs. It's. But I think because I don't have to be so graphic because it's YA, I was able to do it. I have a lot of friends that write sex scenes, and they're detailed, and that makes me want to die.
Mm-hmm. But as I'm sure your publisher mentioned, sex sells. So,
it does.
You know,
it does.
You have to balance
so
it.
So does smut.
Right.
Smut sells.
Right. Right. I mean, 50 everyone knows 50 Shades.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows me. So that's my downfall.
Oh, all right.
Lisa Lampanelli, she doesn't even swear more than I do.
No,
Bill
you
says
swear. I think you swear more than Lisa Lampanelli.
She stopped
does.
Swearing. She's a friend of mine. And she went through this whole spiritual transformation after she lost all the weight. And
mm-hmm.
now she's just really zen. I mean, she'll still do it on stage, but in her real life, not so much. Although when I hung out with her before her transformation, she said the C word a lot, and that
yeah.
worked its way into my vocabulary.
Oh, see, I don't say that word.
Which is shameful.
See, Jen Lancaster swears more than I do.
I don't think so.
But Lisa Lampanelli had some great things to say about this book. She's funny. We spoke to her recently, too.
Awesome.
And yes, so fantastic. Tell us about Penny Sinclair's... her journeys in this book.
Penny Sinclair is a different kind of character for me. In every other novel that I've written, the characters are explosive. They are all going through crises, and they all have these screwed up lives, and it's them trying to find their peace. In this case, Penny has it together. She's an actuary. Everything that's happened has had nothing to do with her. Her husband cheated on her. Her kids are kind of miserable. Her parents are nuts. But none of that's her fault. She's a responsible person because she lives her life very much by the numbers. She makes decisions based on the calculations.
Yeah.
So her husband's gone. Her kids are gone. And she's finally getting her life back after this hipster wedding takes place in her backyard. And what ends up happening is her kids come back. Her parents move in with her, and her ex-husband, through a number of circumstances, ends up under her roof, too. And all she wants to do is get her life back and go on a Match.com date. Mm-hmm. So she's the first character I've ever written that's likable right from the go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Do you know how your stories are going to end when you start writing them, or does it just kind of evolve and you find out how it ends when it ends?
You have to have a general idea of how it ends, but as you write, and this is something my friend Stacy would say, she used to say, well, the characters tell me where they're going. And I would roll my eyes and I would laugh at her. Mm-hmm. This is back when I was just writing memoir. But then I started writing fiction, and she's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to put them in one direction, and they go in an entirely different one. And this one, something very different was supposed to happen with the husband, and it didn't. Because as I wrote him and as I developed him, I thought, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fun. It's like reading a book only times 1,000 because you're really invested.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing a signing anywhere? Are you going to be out anywhere? I know
yes.
The book is available by the numbers. Jen Lancaster with us today.
We have such a fun signing that is happening on Sunday at City Winery. So you can drink, you can eat lunch. I'll be there. Author Stacy Bayless will be there. Author Eleanor Brown will be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a great location,
that does sound
too.
Like a good time.
We've done a lot of stuff there, and they are incredible hosts.
All right, let's take a quick break. Jen Lancaster's here. Her new book, her 13th, is called By the Numbers. Stick around. More next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You've got to say alas more often.
Alas.
That was.
I didn't use that properly.
No, I think you did.
Jen Lancaster's here. She's a writer. Did I use that correctly?
I think you used it correctly.
Alas. It means an Irish woman, doesn't it? I think it does. Jen Lancaster's new book is called By the Numbers. What author are you jealous of? Have you ever read anybody's stuff and just said to yourself, boy, that guy, that girl, that's great stuff. I'm jealous.
How much time do we have on the show? I'm jealous of everyone. I read the deals every day, and every time someone gets more money than me, number one, I hate them.
Yeah.
And when people get better publicity than I have gotten, I hate them. There's been a couple of books that have come out with great fanfare, so I read them to hate read them, to see, oh, this is terrible, they shouldn't have gotten it. And each time, they're great. I just read The Girls by Emma Klein. It's about a Charles Manson-type cult, fictionalized, and it was phenomenal.
Really?
It was phenomenal.
Good.
That was a great question.
Oh, well, you know.
Are there any radio personalities you're jealous of?
Crazy Howard McGee. So jealous.
I'm looking at the dedication in this book, By the Numbers, for the crews at LFHF and IBJI. Explain.
I dedicated this book to the people at the health club where I work out and the people at Illinois Bone and Joint because...
A sponsor of ours here at WGN.
Outstanding. Well, they did great work. I ruptured my Achilles about a year and a half ago. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. That's about the worst thing that can happen to you. I couldn't walk for almost 3 months. I mean, completely no weight bearing. So I was the crazy person on the cart.
Yeah.
That Neely thing?
Yeah. When you're on crutches, people are so solicitous. They're so kind. When you're on the cart, they think you're crazy. They think, especially because I would carry tongs in my basket because I couldn't reach. I mean, there are things that I couldn't reach.
Sure.
The grabber.
So it was already problematic. But it was 3 months not walking, another 2 months in the cast, and then it was months and months and months of rehab to get back to normal. And
that's a long time.
Yeah, my physical therapist said, it might be a while before you can run again. I'm like, well, don't worry about that. That has never been an issue. That's not anything I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that I was really overweight when it happened. And since then, I've lost about 90 pounds.
Tremendous.
Which not working that hard, just doing things, making 1,000 little changes.
Yeah.
Because what I realized is being able to move really is a gift. And it's not until you can't get yourself into the shower that you appreciate having 2 functional legs.
Sure.
Because showering's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine. Now, you've made a discovery, you kind of a cause and effect when it comes to this. You were just talking about how the main character is kind of likable from the get-go. And there's you put something together.
This is a happy book. And this is the first book that I've written where I've consistently gone to the gym every day and eaten right. And I think the endorphins just made this, it's not Hallmark Movie Channel, but if they wanted to buy the rights, I would cash that check in a minute.
Sure.
But it's a happy, light, uplifting book.
All right. I have not been paying attention to a lot. I've been looking for this boot that you said Kobe Bryant used to help.
VacoCast, I think.
It's called the Mamba.
That's a different one. There's one where he's in a tuxedo and he's wearing the VacoCast.
Mamba's his nickname.
Yeah.
Well, he's sold it to Nike, and there's now a Nike Mamba walking boot, and that helped move him along very quickly. Because Judd Surratt was just in this morning, and he tore his Achilles tendon.
Sure he did, yeah.
And Stephanie Menendez's husband. It's like, is this? We're getting old, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I felt I don't care anything about basketball. I'm not a sports person. But when that happened to Kobe, I felt such a kinship with him. I said, Kobe and I, we're the same. I wanted to call him so I could talk about things. And I didn't know anybody that could make that happen. And I think he would have thought that that was weird.
And now he's writing novels. So it all ties in somehow. I don't know how he does it, but he does. So you're in a better place, and that means the characters you write about are in a better place, but you need conflict for a book to be good, so there's no shortage on conflict in By the Numbers.
Right, except the thing that is different about this, it's always my main character that causes her own conflict, and in this book, it's conflict that is happening to her.
Hmm. And you know, it's weird, and you could probably relate to this. I wanted to have a great career. I do. And I worked hard for it. And you want to be a mom too. But at some point, we were just in Nashville on vacation, and I realized every morning it was, I'm needed so much. Like, where's the toothpaste? I don't know. Look in your luggage. It's hard to be pulled in all these different directions, so I can empathize with your character.
Right. And that was the main cause of conflict between her and her husband. He was more of a stay-at-home dad, and she was the one that had the big career, and she had to admit to herself that she preferred doing the work than doing the hard work of being a mother and being in the family. And I don't know that a lot of people will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very easy for me to say since I don't have kids. I have dogs.
I'll tell you, it's way easier being at work than at home. Not that I dislike it, but it's way easier being at work. Bill's very fun to deal with, and he's more responsible than my kids.
There's less screaming. I
mean, right.
On most days.
Right, on most days.
And when you're, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. When you are comfortable in your own home, sometimes you're rude.
Right.
To your family members. You know what I mean? So I try not to be rude to Bill.
And if you were, then you just get sent to HR. So
that's how it
there's
is.
There's a system.
That is how it is. I'm sure people have asked you if the characters you write are partially you, and how could they not be? But do you take from people around you? Do you take from family and friends and sometimes incorporate that into the characters?
Every author is a thief.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Although we're creative, there are so many different people that inspire us. That's why I'm always, always, always paying attention, because I want to pick up on people's traits, to see what they're like, because it's easier than imagining it.
Mm-hmm.
So which character is Kobe Bryant in the new book?
No Kobe in this one. But there are scenes where this where Penny says the exact thing that I would say. There's she is very anti-smoking because she's an actuary, so she can quote all the statistics. But when things go terribly, terribly awry, the only thing that can help her is a cigarette. So there's a scene where she goes to buy cigarettes at Walgreens, and she hasn't actually purchased them since 1980, and she was stunned that they were like $11.
Sure.
And then she lectured the kid who told her to be well. And she's like, well, don't you think it's odd that you're telling someone to be well? Well, you're selling me this device that does this, does this, does this. And then the kid looks at her and said, did you want matches? And she said, yes.
Perfect.
And that is 100% a conversation I would have if I bought cigarettes.
Oh, of course.
100%.
You are so great. Jen Lancaster, her book is called By the Numbers, and you can learn all about Penny Sinclair. I identify with Penny. A little bit.
She's a good girl. That's a good role model.
Quite a bit, actually. And where will you be doing a book signing this weekend?
City Winery in Chicago, 1 o'clock with author Stacey Bayless and Eleanor Brown. It's going to be a good time, and it's books will be available from the bookseller, which is just about the best local bookstore ever.
Beautiful.
And your website, so people can follow you and Twitter and all that stuff?
JenLancaster.com.
Pretty easy.
Thanks, Jen. Great to see you again. That's Jen Lancaster again. That book is called By the Numbers. Pick it up. We'll be back after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.